Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go. Welcome once again. It is time for another episode of the Something Something Cast.
Something Something Cast.
I'm James Hatton.
Podcast Rob here.
And we are back once again, and we have guests in studio.
We do. Well, in the cloud studio.
Yeah, the
in
ether.
The interwebs studio.
You're right. In the past, we've had guests in studio, but since we've had so many episodes where guests have been via Skype, I generally feel that Skype is our office at this point.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, we're not even in the same fucking studio right now, so.
Yeah, that's exactly. So we've abducted these fine gentlemen.
I see what you did there.
To be a part of the show. Hey, guys.
How's it going?
We have the guys from Alien Theorists Theorizing. On our show today to talk some movies with us. Guys, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, plug your show, let people know where they can find you at.
I'm Braden, and this here is...
Hello, I'm Zell.
As you can probably tell, this is our first time on someone else's podcast, so, you know, bear with us.
We're breaking them in.
We're on... Oh.
I said we're breaking you in.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Nice and hard.
Yeah. Don't go easy.
So yeah, we're on Alien Theories Theorizing. You guys can find us. It's not that hard.
Alien
excited to be here.
Alien Theories Theorizing, pretty much everywhere.
More excited about this than our pod at the moment. So. All right.
Oh, you guys. I know Rob has spoken volumes about you guys. He's a big conspiracy guy. What's his name? What's big hair guy name?
Oh, Giorgio Tsoukalos.
Yeah, I've heard more about Giorgio Tsoukalos. Did I forget that right? Since we started this podcast than I ever thought I'd ever hear ever. More than just that one meme. So when he found you guys, he's been speaking your praises for weeks. So I'm glad we got, or months even. So I'm glad we got you guys on.
Yeah, cool. He was the inspiration for our podcast too. So it's, you know.
Oh, we appreciate that. Awesome. Thank you very much. That's very nice to hear. So, Haddon, would you like to fill our listeners in on the topic du jour for today?
Yes. Since we have aliens, I'm gonna botch up the name of your show. Alien Theories Theorizing?
Theorists.
Theorists.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Close enough.
We are doing one of our classic top five episodes with invasion/extraterrestrial movies.
Oh, very nice.
Thank you.
Damn, that's not even on my list.
I realized I just missed it too.
We suck.
So I don't know about you guys. I have five that I like. Two that are either so bad that I sort of enjoy them in the deep, quiet part of my closet. And yeah, no, that's, and I got two really, really bad ones, five good ones.
It's a really hard genre to nail down, because is there really good ones, or are there just better bad ones? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of hard. There's a couple of classics, but then the others, you're always kind of like, you fault them in some degree. You're like, ugh.
I like them all in some way, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually, when Rob and I were talking before the show, I was like, I need to pick ones where Earth is in it. I don't know whether you guys did, but if you didn't, that's cool. I went for specifically ones where Earth is a prominent feature, because otherwise it's just movies with aliens, and you could pick Star Wars, for frick's sake, and it just doesn't jive. So
yeah, I didn't pick Superman, but that's pretty...
Right.
It's a pretty bad invasion movie. But no, I didn't pick it. I kept it with the genre.
Fantastic.
Kept it on Earth?
Yeah, kept it on Earth, and kept it on Earth with legit aliens.
So, Rob, do you want to start us off?
Sure. I will start off with, you know what, I'm going to get the one that I'm probably going to get laughed at for the most out of the way first, so we can kind of end it on higher notes later on. in doing some Google searches, it made a list for bad alien invasion movies, but I really enjoyed this one, so I don't care that it wasn't that great. It's Dreamcatcher.
Oh, I fucking love Dreamcatcher.
I haven't seen that in a long time, actually.
It was not a good movie.
You done it.
But I love me some Damian Lewis, and it just the cast and Morgan Freeman's eyebrows. The fact that Damian Lewis and Morgan Freeman's eyebrows in that movie for me were worth the price of the DVD alone.
I don't know why, but I agree. It's a bad movie. Ever since I first saw it, it's one of the few DVDs I still own. I just always kept it. I'm like, you know what? I haven't watched it in years, but I'm like, I will. I'll watch it again, and I'm going to enjoy it yet again. It's got anal probing aliens. That's what we're about here.
The thing that I really like about it is that it shows kind of a duplicity that you don't really see in a lot of other alien movies. I mean, you see the whole we come in peace, and then they turn out to be, you know, dicks about it and stuff. But that they actually change shape and form from the, hey, help us, we're stranded on your planet, to when they, like, get angry and they're like, fuck, they're onto us. And they turn around and they run for the ship. I thought that was really cool. And I still quote the hell out of that movie, too. Who's it, Jason Lee, the skateboarder guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When, like, I'll wake up in the morning like, fuck, where's the cat that took a shit in my mouth? It's just, it's a fun movie. It's an entertaining movie. The acting is good, even if the story and the translation from the book wasn't that great. But I love the hell out of it, so I had to put it on there.
I didn't even think of that one, but now, like, I'd revise my list at this point. I'd knock a couple off.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. I don't know what that movie is. I've seen it was it 10, 15 years ago?
Probably.
Yeah, probably something like that.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater, and I couldn't, and I still don't remember it. Like, I remember Jason Lee exploding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had the shit weasels. You had the aliens that, like, they grew inside you, and the dude came to the cabin, and he was like, oh, I'm not feeling good. They put him on the toilet, and you just hear him, like, fart for, like, 10 minutes. And you're like, oh, my God, what the hell's going on?
The most memorable part of that movie for me, and it's something I still say to this day, is occasionally, and I know you and I have done it, I done it.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I done it.
That's Morgan Freeman, Thomas Jane, Jason Lee, Damian Lewis, Timothy Oliphant, Tom Sizemore, Donnie Wahlberg. That's a hell of a cast.
A really good cast.
Yeah.
What was that movie made?
It made $75.7 million, according to Wikipedia.
Not bad.
And it cost $68 million, so.
Turned a profit, at least.
Yeah, for a Stephen King movie, that did all right.
Yeah. It's not the best Stephen King movie. It's not the worst.
Right.
Well, yeah, I think that's the kicker. It's not the worst.
Yeah.
There are others out there that were far, far worse.
That's why Tommyknockers isn't on any of our lists.
Yeah.
So, one of you guys pick, draw straws, punch each other to death. What do you guys got?
I'm going to go with this one. I love this movie, and some people will laugh at me for it. I love Signs. Like, when Signs came out, M. Night Shyamalan Signs.
Yeah.
Like, that. How it dealt with, like, the information leaking to the world that, like, aliens were coming. And then you see that, like, I remember the first scene at the party where it just casually strolls through the birthday. Like, it was awesome. You know, minus the last, 15 minutes and the scientific facts involved at the end. But I love that movie. Like, still, to this day, love it.
I think it's one of Shyamalan. I think it's Shyamalan's probably his last good one before he started to fall off. But I agree. I didn't hate it at all. The water thing was how War of the Worlds went, and there were so many things that people picked on it for are more sort of nods to War of the Worlds than they are things that you should knock on Shyamalan for. There's some suspense in that film.
Oh, man, like when he's looking under the knife or looking under the door with the knife and the hand comes out. Like, man, Jesus, that movie was...
Gotta give me chills right now.
Underrated. I love that movie. Like, that's what I imagine Alien Invasion will be like, is Signs. We'll all be having a birthday party and all of a sudden a tall grail comes strutting through.
Just strolls through. That's how it starts.
Strutting through the birthday.
There's the one scene in there that still always makes me jump. It's when... I forget which character it is, but they're backing away from a doorway, and they end up with that big kind of ornate air vent right behind their head.
Oh, and yeah.
If you, once you see the scene once, if you look at it again, the alien's fingers are already through the grate, but it's the way he's grabbing it. It blends in with the rest of the wrought ironwork on the grate. So they're leaning up against the grate, and all of a sudden the fingers just like come out and try to grab at his face, and the audience just goes batshit. It's a good movie. I'm glad you said except for the last 15 minutes, because that's really the only thing that drives me nuts about that movie.
Yeah, like the predestination shit that they try to touch on. Can I, am I allowed to swear on this one?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Absolutely.
Okay, okay. I was trying to censor myself there. When he's like, oh, swing for the fences, Billy. And you're like, oh, geez, come on. It's why he stayed home from the majors, so he could swing baseball bats at aliens. Give me a fucking swing.
Hey, but think of what would have happened if he had gone to the majors. That whole movie would have ended differently.
Yeah, probably. They would have died anyways from the atmosphere. Either way.
It's a great ship in a bottle movie. I love that everything just takes place. It is very original radio play War of the Worlds-ish, mm-hmm. where you're yeah. only getting information from that one tiny little pinhole coming through and how it affects everybody inside.
Yeah, it's one of, as soon as you guys gave us this list, that was probably the first movie that came to my mind. Well, the second one. I'm sure there's a big one coming that all of us will mention.
I hope so.
I don't want to drop it right now, but I'll let it out.
That is probably a fair assessment.
It's not going to be my first one, I know that.
Yeah, so I'll toss it back to you guys, unless you got anything else to touch on science.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say the same thing Rob did, that how wonderful, the one thing I love about that movie is that you know there's this whole other huge story going on elsewhere in the world, over Washington, D.C., you know, elsewhere this is happening. What I love about it is you're just seeing that one little bubble, that one farmhouse.
And how they're dealing with it.
Yeah.
It's great.
So I'll give you my first one. It's the one that I'm probably the most embarrassed by, but not really embarrassed. I own the soundtrack. It's probably the only one of these movies that has its own dedicated soundtrack. I already hear Rob sighing. Because it's Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, that is surprisingly not where I thought you were going
to
go.
No,
I was about to start singing a theme song, but then I don't know the one to that one.
Oh yeah, no, it's done by the Dickies, which are a West Coast punk band. Now, Rob, I know which one you're talking about, Rob. That one's for later.
Yeah,
yeah, because you already yelled at me on Twitter. But yeah, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. It's a classic 1980s horror flick where it's got killer clowns. They come from a spaceship that's the big top tent. They turn people into cotton candy. They kill people with little popcorn insects. It's fucking brilliant. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. They used to play it like every week on USA Up All Night. I would never miss it. I would watch it all the way through.
I'm just looking it up now. I've never seen this.
I've never seen it.
It looks right down my alley. It's like he's spinning the world a globe on the cover. Like, I don't know how I didn't know this. Two of my favorite things, clowns and basketball.
It is very much a campy kind of horror movie, but it taps into that primal fear that a lot of people have of clowns. So it's almost like nothing else in the movie needs to be scary. There's clowns that kill people, and they're aliens, so like a third of the United States right there is already terrified of the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of humor in it. I mean, they don't play it serious. You know, there's a scene where the one alien's making shadow puppets, this is when they're abducting people. So he makes shadow puppets first. He does a bunny rabbit, and then he does, you know, I don't even remember. But the punchline is that then his hands turn into Tyrannosaurus Rexes and they eat the person. So it's played for seriousness.
Yeah.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space. 1988. Yep. Okay. It's on the list.
Put it on the list.
Yep, yep.
It'll be on my list of things to stream here.
And the soundtrack will get, if you're a punk fan, that soundtrack's going to get stuck in your stupid head and you are going to, and trust me, it's worth it to get. So back to you guys.
Ryan, what do you got here?
Okay, I'm going to go with not the best movie, but my personal favorite theory of how an alien invasion would go. with the Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, very good.
The original or the Keanu?
Well,
same.
Same. But... I like. I'm a fan of Keanu. Let's go with that.
Me too.
Okay.
I've never seen the Keanu one.
You never seen it?
No, not the Keanu one. I've seen the original.
I never seen the original, so I'm sure it's the same.
Yeah. Frame for frame.
Shot for shot.
Shot for shot. Direct copy. You don't even have to watch the other one.
Just a better looking lead actor in Keanu Reeves, which ties the story together way better.
just his attractiveness?
Yeah.
Very good.
Like, you instantly forget plot holes when you look like Keanu Reeves.
He's the perfect blend. He just blends the whole thing together.
So is there still a giant robot in the Keanu one?
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, they send all the orbs towards Earth, and they think it's like the meteor strike, and then slows down. And Keanu is born out of the orb, I guess, pretty much. But I love that theory that if there was like another advanced civilization, the chances of them being able to adapt to our environment is probably impossible. So like the theory that they have to be born on our planet as one of us, but with the alien consciousness. I love that theory. I think it's sweet.
Yeah, it was a good interesting. I like that too. Because he's like, it's like, comes in a placenta or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
It's like born on the planet. Yeah, exactly.
A little weird, but yeah.
So Keanu. So Keanu plays, he plays the robot or does he play the hero?
He plays the alien entity.
Oh, okay.
And then his guardian is the big robot.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I just love it that he's sent there to judge if Earth is worthy of continuing on or not, pretty much. I saw that theory when he's talking to like the Madam Secretary in the movie, and she's like, "What are you doing on our planet?" And he just turns to her like and gives her that Keanu smile. Your planet.
Yeah.
It's just like, no.
Just deadpan look in his face.
Your planet.
Does he do any of those, like, does he have any like bad Keanu moments? Does he have any of those, "Oh, I have to stop," kind of like Bill and Ted's?
Is there a movie that he doesn't do that?
Yeah, exactly.
I would like you to point that out to me.
Well played, because there's none I can think of.
Yeah, he's a pinhole actor, I guess. He's got the one trick pony.
Does it well.
But
God damn, does he look good though? Guy doesn't age.
He doesn't. I will agree with that. If you clean off the facial hair that he sometimes puts on in some of the movies, it is one of those things where 100 years from now, people are going to look back and like we do now and be like, "Oh, look, Jay-Z was a time traveler. Here's a picture of him in 1928 looking exactly the same."
Yeah.
It's going to be the same thing with Keanu.
It's crazy that they're doing another Bill and Ted's, because Ted is going to look like 100 years old and Bill hasn't aged a day. Or Ted, whichever one he was. I think he was Ted. No, he was Bill.
I don't remember.
He was Ted.
He was Ted? So he's going to look the same fucking age. And the other guy's going to look ancient.
Yeah.
They're going to have to do some rigging. Brad Pitt. What's that movie where they had to reverse his age?
Oh, Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to do some Benjamin Buttoning to him.
What's the other guy's name, Hatton?
Oh, it's shit.
The other guy. That's
Preston. Yeah. Damn it.
The guy not as famous as Keanu.
Yeah,
exactly.
The one that was also a vampire in
Winters,
Lost Boys.
Something Winters?
Yes, Alex Winters.
Alex Winters. He's in the documentary about, what was that Netflix documentary that you were talking about? The Golden Globus one?
Oh, the Breaking Two. Like the Breaking Two one, right?
Yeah. And he looks like he's 40. And yeah, Keanu still doesn't, so... It's going to be interesting to see how they pull that off.
Yeah, they'll probably just make a joke of it or something. It's Bill and Ted's. It's the sequel. It's the sequel no one wanted.
Yeah, maybe Ted's still been traveling in the phone booth, and trying to give it up. So that's why they're going to come back, and it's going to be like that whole mismatched age thing. Even though they're probably close to the same age.
You know what? Your idea is probably better than what they're writing. You should pitch that.
Yeah, Bogus Journey almost made my honorable mentions just for Station, but I decided against it because it wasn't invasion-y.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, Rob, we volley back to you.
We will. I'm going to go with quite potentially the biggest cult movie that I have on my list.
Oh, no.
What? Oh, I'm excited.
I'm getting you should talk about giving me oh no's, Mr. Hatton, with your list over there. It has a fight scene in it that has been riffed and recreated in a number of different TV shows.
Oh, this one. Okay, good.
A lot of the alien imagery has become very pop culture, and it fucking has Rowdy Roddy Piper in it. They Live, fantastic movie, still holds up to this day as far as I'm concerned.
It's also on my list.
1988, American satirical action horror alien film, done by John Carpenter. Roddy Piper gets these Ray-Ban Wayfarer sunglasses, and he puts them on, and it allows him to see through the mask that a lot of the political folks and like the one percenters are actually aliens, and they're trying to take over the world by just basically making everybody else as complacent as possible. But it's just such a fantastic movie. I'm looking for the cast list. Starring Roddy Piper, Keith David, Meg Foster,
George Flower.
Done by John Carpenter. That fight scene was recreated in South Park, for Christ's sake.
Oh, scene by scene.
Yeah.
This one made my list. Hands down, easy peasy.
Yep.
There was
Come that. Here, chew bubblegum and kick ass.
And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Absolutely.
You know what? You know why that movie's so good? Because it started a WWE wrestler, and not enough movies do that nowadays.
Yeah, that's lacking.
Right? Think of all the good movies, the really good movies, WWE wrestlers.
What's
the Nanny
funny?
Sitter with Hulk Hogan? Unreal.
No holds barred, sir? Come on. What's funny is I have another movie with another pro wrestler on my list. It's on my bad list, but it's on my list.
On the list, nonetheless.
Wow.
But
yeah, that's a great. I love that movie.
This I have T-shirts about this. Like, you know me. I have a poster. I have a They Live poster on my wall. Like, of course this movie's on my list too.
Yeah.
Man, I would love to have like the original movie poster for that movie. It's on like where he's wearing the sunglasses with the reflection of the skull.
Yep. I have a micro version of it. It's not the full actual like the movie release poster, but somebody printed them on like cardstock. So I have that exact poster hanging above my TV right now.
Oh, jealous.
Yeah.
I might do an eBay. This has inspired me to do an eBay trip later tonight.
Yeah, it's
the last time I did this where I bought a movie poster, I bought the Kramer picture from Seinfeld. I can't remember what it's called, but it's just Kramer, the painting of Kramer.
It was, yes.
Supposed to be the picture quality in a frame. I paid $100 and it came and I didn't read the description. It was an 8x10 picture with the frame in the picture.
The Kramer.
Yeah. Oh.
So I have that hanging on my wall and I, it's a good story. Well,
hey, you paid $100 for it. Goddamn right. You're going to hang it up on your wall now.
Exactly. Right? I can't get rid of it. Who's going to pay that?
Exactly. It could be a playing card size picture. I'm still hanging it. I paid for it.
So yeah, I'll read the description on the They Live one. Make sure I'm getting the right one.
Yeah, this one, when we went to a con recently, there was a guy who had movie posters, and they were all, he clearly like took the posters, scanned them, and then printed them real high quality. So yeah. I got a couple of them. It's right next to my Mystery Science Theater one.
I have the guy's business card. When we're done with the show, I'll direct message you the information. See what the shipping is for you guys up there to get it up there.
Oh, they probably don't even ship to Canada, man. No one ships to Canada.
That's worth a try.
It's so cold. We have our own eBay, man. You can only get like 6 things.
I want to make a joke, but I don't want to insult you.
You can't.
It's okay. You don't have to, don't be sorry. Just make the joke.
Is it called eBay?
Yeah.
Oh.
eBay.
eBay.
You know what? You know what we call the CIA here? It's called the CIA. Same thing. Ours is just a lot more nicer.
Is that where Ron Pond worked?
Yeah, that's. I think he started.
You know about Ron Pond?
Oh my God! Come on.
He's being minted on our coin this fall. Actually. Yeah. We got to hold the Trudeau on Twitter.
Yeah.
Told him the story. He looked him up. Sure enough.
Well, he didn't look him up. He just listened to us.
We looked him up.
So we said we claimed we looked him up, but Canadian hero.
I think he actually looked us up.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
may or may not be still alive.
Anyways, that...
I don't
that
know
was
this
mine.
Story.
They live. Braden, over to you.
Over to me. Okay, so I'm like, we're getting some good ones here. You know what? I'm going to go with one I just watched recently, and I saw this movie as a kid, and that's why it stuck with me. And I watched it again, and I was kind of blown away by the cast. Mars Attacks.
Mars Attacks!
Yes!
Like reviews, it got slaughtered. But, like, directed by Tim Burton, like, an unreal cast. You had Jack Nicholson playing two roles, like, painfully obviously playing two roles. Like, young Natalie Portman, Pierce Brosnan, DeVito, Glenn Close, Sarah Jessica Parker, and everyone. Like, yeah. Martin Short was in it. What's his name? Marty from Back to the Future there. Pre-Shakes.
He was in that?
Yeah.
He was?
I don't remember him in there, but he probably was. Everyone was
probably
in that
was.
Film.
Everyone was in there.
He was Sarah Jessica Parker's husband, but then he gets, I don't know, whatever kind of gun they used that would turn you into a green skeleton. You got that happened.
Wasn't
to
that,
him.
So that wasn't Matthew Broderick?
No. It was,
oh, that's her real husband. You're right.
Real husband. The husband in the movie. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Matthew Broderick.
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox, right.
Oh, and even Jack Black was in it. Young Jack Black.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, he was.
Like, it was, like, you watch that movie, and it's, like, it's bad, but it's meant to be a B movie. And it's, like, it's just enjoyable to watch. Like, anytime we, like, make a joke when we're doing Case Files about Mars or anything,
you gotta
the
make
first
noise.
Thing we go is, yeah, 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 yeah. Like, the first thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yours is way better.
Yeah, that was perfect.
Oh, yeah. We just did our Tim Burton episode a couple ago, and it was on my favorite as my probably top two, one of my two favorite Tim Burton films, and Rob just lambasted me because I love Mars Attacks.
Like, it's so stupid, but it's meant to be stupid.
Yeah.
So you can kind of forgive it. Like, you can forgive everything, but, like, it's a bad movie. Like, but Jack Nicholson's hilarious in it, like, in his prime, just hilarious. I don't even remember his name. He's the casino manager, and like that character is the best.
Yeah, he plays
the cowboy guy.
Yeah,
yeah. If you go on Twitter at some point, and just if you act on Twitter, there is an account called Head Martian that will respond back to you with acts. Just and that's all. That's all he'll say to you.
Perfect, unreal. I can't believe I'm just hearing about this.
Yeah.
Anyone following our Twitter, prepare to be our feed to be full of acts. Okay. I got nothing but time for 2 days. This is all I'm doing. This poor guy running this account.
Yeah. It's just gonna be
just gonna spam him.
We come in peace. Act.
But like, yeah, that like, man, everything from that movie. Like, I don't know. I just there's something about it. Like right from the start, it's a little slow at the start when I rewatched it. But man, as soon as it gets in, it's funny. Like you're laughing the whole time. They're tipping the monuments onto the kids, dropping it back and forth. All of a sudden, like there's the whole military scene where they come out of the spaceship and six aliens decimate the US Army. And
oh,
there's a
yes.
scene where they're shooting and everyone in the background is not aiming at the aliens. They're just aiming off in the distance, like not even anywhere looking at the aliens.
And by the end of the movie, they're one-shotting them.
Yeah.
With a pistol. It's so great. Funny.
Oh.
There's the two black kids. What are you doing? Get the president out of here.
Like, oh, what do they end up playing for music at the end that makes their heads pop?
I can't remember.
Yodeling or something. It's like yodeling.
Yeah, some weird.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, fuck. It's funny.
You never know. Like, that's funny. Like, it's just a good movie. Like, if you don't like that movie, Rob, give another shot, man.
See? It's not just me. I'm not
alone.
Well,
that's why I'm keeping quiet. I'm, you know, clearly I'm in the minority of not finding this movie funny. So, I'm glad you guys enjoy it.
Hey, when did your inner child die?
Wow.
I'm just fucking with you. My brother hates it too. It's fine.
If you like Mars Attacks,
and I understand the point that it's a parody movie and that it's a dumb movie made to be dumb, and in so doing, it does it very well. Those aren't my type of movies. I've never been into like Dumb and Dumber. I've never like I've barely tolerated the Ace Ventura movies. It's just that type.
Well, alrighty then.
It's never been my cup of tea. So, but there are people out there that enjoy it, like my podcast partner.
Hello.
So there you go.
Well, sorry, Rob.
Hey, no need to apologize. It was entertaining hearing you guys talk about it.
We just apologize for everything.
We apologize. Even
they're Canadian. My sister's Canadian. I understand.
You know what Canadians hate? When you guys acknowledge our apologies so much, because it's just second nature to us. You're like, sorry. And you're like, oh, you don't have to be sorry. You're like, I really wasn't. I just say it. I don't even know how to stop it.
This happens.
Yeah, my sister lives up in Canada now, and when she came home for a holiday at one point, the first time she said, I'm sorry for something, I attacked. It was like, pincers out. Like, oh, this is who you are now. We're from New Jersey. You don't apologize.
Yeah, clearly.
So that, I guess that brings it over to me.
It does.
I went with, this was one of the ones that I wanted to put on the list, but I wanted to remember if I liked it or whether it was just sort of good in the past. And I know you and I have discussed it, Rob, during another episode, and that was District 9. I rewatched it last night.
Oh, yeah.
Hold up.
Squids?
Prawns.
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 Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's South African, right?
Yeah, yeah. They call me Sweetie Man because he gives them the cat food.
Yeah.
But yeah, I forgot how enjoyable that movie is. Just so much, it has a lot of the kind of outward camera footage, lower budget, but you can't tell. The prawns look amazing, and it's a really good, like, I don't want to call it an invasion story, like it's almost like a failed invasion story, but just political commentary on top of just a neat sort of fish out of water story. It's great.
The effects of the prawns in that movie are still to this day, they still hold up.
Phenomenal.
And they are amazing. The CGI effects were top notch. And the thing that I really liked about that movie was their marketing campaign, because it was very kind of realistic and underground. There weren't a whole lot of commercials, but there were a lot of posters that went up in places around like New York City and Chicago and highly populated areas.
Yeah, with the prawns.
And all they were like on the side of a bus stop, you'd see a poster of like a 16-bit outline of a digitized prawn with a Ghostbuster sign around it, and it would say, you know, no prawn zone, report to District 9. So like it was making it like they were trying to block out the city and tell them, hey, no, you're in the wrong area. So it felt very, very real and very almost like found footage-ish.
That's
the way
awesome.
They were trying to get the fucking word out. It was fantastic.
See, we missed that part of the marketing campaign up in small town Canada up here.
Oh, it was great. Because there were people like, well, I don't understand what this is. Because there was no like, there was no website for the movie underneath it. There was no, it was just, we're going to put these little things out there and let people look them up if they want to and figure out what it's about. Really well done.
Yeah, I was about halfway through it, and I didn't realize how riveted I was to it. I guess I had only seen it maybe once in the theater and then once later, because when he starts to be able to use his abilities with his prawn arm, the special effects go off the chart. He's a fantastic, you know, actor for just playing, you know,
unreal
scaredy cat guy going around, and now, you know, he's the bridge between these two races. Across the board, it's probably bumped up my list a bunch of points having rewatched it, so I'm glad I got to.
I love this scene where they're testing his prawn arm with the guns, and they're shooting targets and stuff, and then they bring out the prawns, and he's freaking out. Like, he just shows these guys. This guy's got acting chops.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't he unknown for that movie?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Came out of nowhere, yeah.
I mean, if he's known in South Africa, we wouldn't know. But
well, that's right. That's like being known in Canada.
Oh, come on. You got Celine.
Well, it's all the famous Canadians. Everyone thinks they're American anyway, so.
Yeah. Well, except Justin Bieber, unfortunately.
Yeah, that one stuck
somehow. He gets
pinned
on us all the time.
I didn't even know he was Canadian.
Oh, damn it.
Fuck.
I can let the cat out of the bag there.
See what you did there?
this was a Peter Jackson movie.
Yeah, it was.
He produced it?
Produced or something.
Yeah, produced by, yeah, directed by Blomkamp, but it was produced by Jackson.
I think that's why the CGI was off the charts at the time, because that was like fresh off Lord of the Rings pretty much. I don't think he did anything else after that.
King Kong, didn't he?
King Kong was before Lord of the Rings, wasn't it?
Or
was
in
it
the
after?
Middle of.
It was during. I don't know.
This is from 2009. This movie was made on $30 million. Well, it was produced on $30 million.
And for
and
what,
it made $211 million at the box office.
And for the big broad sets, I mean, yeah, they're slums, so you can kind of get away with. But those sets are big, or at the very least, they're CGI'd in such a way that you can't tell that they're small. Those big slums and the complexes and the huge ship just lingering in the background at all points in time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't look like it doesn't look like a matte painting. You know, it really does look like it's hovering there. So at the very least, it's a CGI'd matte painting. But yeah. But yeah, for $30 million,
I didn't realize the budget was that low.
Yeah, worth every penny.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I got to rewatch it.
Yeah,
we were working at the movie theater when that movie came out, I think.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it since.
I've seen it once since, but not long enough to be like, to remember all. I just remember fucking prawns. Fucking prawns.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much I had forgotten from it until I sat down and watched it. And then I remembered, like, they called him Sweetie Man, and they eat cat food, and he gets sprayed in the face, and it's the one comedy beat, but it's ultimately, like, the key to the whole movie, and...
Oh shit!
Yes.
No, I'm looking up the guy who plays Vicus, Charlton Copley.
Sure.
I didn't realize that he also played Murdoch in the A-Team movie.
Really?
It's the same guy.
Wait, you saw the A-Team movie?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dude, that movie was entertaining as fuck. There's a tank that's plummeting to the earth after being shot out of a cargo plane, and they're steering it by firing the main gun as it falls. Come on.
Oh, I love it. Sounds just as good as Fast 7.
There's a Fast 7.
Isn't that coming out?
There's a Fast 8 that they're working on.
Yeah, Fast 7 was unreal. Like,
they kept going after Paul Walker?
Well, yeah. Fast 7 was the one that Paul Walker died in.
Yeah, they're not going to find him in 8.
No.
Right.
No. They had like a 10-minute, like, them splitting freeways and driving in separate ways at the end.
Yeah, I will say that was actually a pretty cool way to end it.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, brought a tier. I had the single tier.
If you go and you look through our archives, Fast and the Furious was one of the first series that Rob and I sort of like joined forces. It was one of the first ideas we had for an episode was to do an entire Fast episode. So it's in the archive. It's like episode 2 or 3.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and listen. Those movies are, I'm like, they're entertaining, but they're like, they just don't even obey any kind of laws of physics or anything, which is what makes them awesome.
But it is Zell's turn.
I don't know if this is considered an invasion movie, but I'm saying it. Because it's an attempted invasion. Men in Black.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely. Here come the men in black.
Here they come. Galaxy Defenders.
Keep going.
Good guys. In case we have a face-to-face, make contact. The title held by me, MIB, means what you think you saw, you did not see. Fear us, cheer us. If you want to get near us, don't fear us. We're fearless. I can't remember. That's all I got.
Wow.
Off the top of my head.
How do you know that whole thing?
I have that song on my phone at all times. I'm a big, big Willy fan.
It's one of the most entertaining movies of my childhood.
Like the first one? Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Sugar, water.
Yeah. Fucking, there was a guy I used to work with that we called Sugar Water.
Oh,
I'd met him and everyone just called him Sugar Water and I hadn't quite met him face to face. So I would talk to him on the radio and be like, yeah, Sugar Water. And then I saw him and I was like, holy shit, that guy looks like that.
Looks just like the
guy from Men in Black. And I was like, oh, Sugar Water. I was like, oh, that's so mean.
That guy's wearing an Edgar suit.
Yeah. Oh man, like, yeah, it's just right from the start when he's like chasing the guy down.
He runs down, what's that alien?
The thing's blinking with the different eyelids.
Oh yeah, yeah, with the dictating eyes.
Yeah.
It was a really well done movie and it was well thought out. You know, to have the ship that he wanted to escape in be the display from the World's Fair. Like, yeah. So somebody went through and did a fair amount of homework on how do we tie this together to make it even somewhat believable so people aren't just rolling their eyes at the end of the movie?
Yeah, they did a good job of working in the conspiracy of how they cover up aliens kind of in that movie.
Oh,
the Neuralizer.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Too good.
One of my Halloween costumes one year was I had a Men in Black suit on, and I had one of these giant super soakers that holds like 4 gallons of water, and I spray painted the whole thing chrome. I had it slung across my back on a guitar strap, and I went to this party, and this guy comes up to me and goes, "So what are you supposed to be, like one of the Blues Brothers?" And I pulled out this little Neuralizer and just hit him in the face with it and kept walking. And I hear the guy going, "Oh shit, I just got flashy thingied." Such an iconic movie, and the acting in it was really good. The first one was like lightning in a bottle. After that, I don't think they ever reached up to the pinnacle that the first one was.
No, like the cast was good. Like Tommy Lee Jones is unreal. Like he's one of my favorite actors for sure, and he's just playing a role that he excels at.
Oh, between straight man and dry humor, that's like his wheelhouse. You can let Will Smith just be Will Smith. And just let Tommy Lee Jones be Tommy Lee Jones, and you're sold right there.
Man, I always forget that the guy who played Edgar was the Kingpin in Daredevil.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, yeah.
I always forget that, and I like watch that movie, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's the Kingpin. Like, it's weird he's playing such a role. But, man, good actor. Good actor, too.
Rob, do you know
what he gets credit for that?
Rob, do you know what's really funny about your Halloween story? Is I have another Halloween story about you in that costume.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was working at the Haunted Village.
Yep.
And you showed up in your full Men in Black gear, and you and I were talking, and there was a girl who came up, and I'm not going to say she was a pretty girl. I'll tell you who it was off the air. And she came over, and she was hanging off you, and she was, you know, doing her best to be Flirty McFlirt. And as she walks away, you pull out the Neuralizer, you point it at your own face, you go, "I wasn't here. Nothing happened. I had a wonderful evening." Click, 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 click.
I semi remember this happening. I couldn't remember if you were gonna tell me that I flashy thingied her or I did it to myself.
Yeah, yourself.
Oh, that's unreal. I think we could be friends now.
Wipes that's away great. The Mars Attacks.
The Mars Attacks thing is wiped away now that I flashy thinking myself.
Yeah, that's a wash.
Does she listen to the podcast? Because that would be awkward.
I don't even know if she's. I don't think she's alive.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's even more awkward.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'll have to go look. She might be. I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's try to erase the.
Let's neuralize this one.
Yeah, Hatton, over to you.
Right. So I'm going with the most realistic of my movies. I'm saving the one you hate for last, Rob. The one you're going to make fun of me for. This one is, I remember seeing it on, I want to say it was HBO or something, and I turned it off immediately because it scared the shit out of me. Mostly because it was eyes and needles and milky substances and just fucking creepy. Based on a novel, supposed true story. It is, in fact, Fire in the Sky.
Oh, Travis Walton story, yes.
Yeah, D.B. Sweeney, Robert Patrick, Craig Sheffer, Peter Berg. Great movie. Based on the book Communion, the alien scenes in that movie to this day, and I rewatched it not a couple years ago, and it is just a scary-ass film. They do it really, really well. The special effects hold up because it's all very bleary and sort of as he's fading in and out of consciousness. But what you do see is just tremendously, vilely horrific. Great movie, though.
Well, you can test that theory to see if it still holds up, because it just came back on Netflix 2 days ago.
Yeah! Oh,
perfect. I was just going to say, I was like, I got to put this one on the list, too. Yeah, I've never seen this one. But now it's on Netflix, I will see it.
Yeah. Well, you guys talked about it in you had an Alien episode.
Yeah, I think Dan said something about it.
Yeah, we were talking Travis Walton,
because it was about his. It was a movie based on that account, encounter, right? Yeah,
that's exactly what it
is.
Yeah,
right.
See, Dan's the guy on our podcast that knows everything. We know nothing.
We just theorize.
We literally come in and we tell Dan. We go, "Hey, we're a couple of Jon Snows this episode, so we hold it together for us." We're like a couple of pampered rock stars when Dan's on the podcast.
Just let Dan handle everything.
Yeah. Wait, you just say facts and you're like, hey, Dan, any chance you know the first ever crop circle appearance? He's like, yeah, let me just get this fact right. It's 1867 and this guy reported it. And you're like, how do you know that? Like, how do you know all this? He doesn't. He just researches all the time.
That's awesome.
Shout out to Dan.
Yeah. Hashtag Dan knows.
Yeah, hashtag
there you go.
Nice. Yeah,
it is a good movie, though. If you guys get the opportunity, you definitely got to check it out. It'd definitely be right up your guys' alley.
Yeah, and there's also, yeah. I don't remember what podcast it is. I want to say it was an episode of, like, Radiolab. It might have been This American Life. I don't remember. It's one of the NPR-style shows where there's an episode where they go and they find him now, and they talk to not just Travis, but they talk to some of the people who are around at the time that this all occurred.
Right.
And they sort of retrace the steps of Fire in the Sky. So there's a lot of great material about it, but I remember this, it's a good sort of down south. It's the classic abduction story. So,
well, I mean, even to this day, it's still probably the most popular one that's out there. And the one that a lot of other abduction stories have a number of similarities to, which is why a lot of people think that some of the more recent ones like don't jive right, because they're really just stealing little bits and pieces from the Travis Walton one, mm-hmm. because it was so put through the news cycle.
I 100% agree with you. There's nothing I can really tag that with. You're right. Because if you watch it, it's every episode of X-Files that involves an abduction. It's, you yep. know, so much of it. So there you go. Fire in the Sky.
Good call.
And a shout out to Brittany, because it's her favorite movie. Just saying.
What was that?
I said a shout out to Brittany because it's her favorite movie.
Oh, there you go.
What's up, Brittany?
Brittany!
Teehee. She is going. She's gonna
is it
hit
really?
Me.
That's her favorite movie?
It's her favorite alien movie. She loves alien movies.
All right, fair enough.
All right, next.
Zell, I think it's over to you, man.
Is it back to me?
Yep.
Everyone's favorite man with the tooth in the center of his face. War of the Worlds. Tom Cruise.
Oh yeah.
Tom Cruise with a centered tooth.
Yeah.
Centered front tooth. If you don't know, look up Tom Cruise centered tooth, and his one of his teeth is in the direct center of his face.
And once you see it, you can never unsee it.
I'm image searching it now.
You really can't. I know exactly what you guys are talking about, and you can't ever. It's like the opposite of the gap in David Letterman's teeth.
Exactly.
Once it's there, he can talk, and it's just mole, 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 mole. Your eyes just drawn right to that fucking tooth in the center of his mouth.
Ah. You literally, while you were saying that, I typed Tom Cruise into Google as a note.
And it pops up with center tooth.
I didn't even have to. The second suggestion was center tooth.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
And this, I'm never not going to see this now.
And it ruins movies for you too, because you'll go see the new Mission Impossible and you're like, this is so bullshit. There's no way he wouldn't have fixed his teeth if he was a secret agent. Like, there's no way. No way. This doesn't play out.
Just ruins his character.
You're instantly out of the film.
It's not even that big of a deal until you see a picture where, like, they insert that fake lateral line down the center of his face.
Yes.
And it just bisects that one tooth sitting in the middle of his mouth. And you're just like, oh, my God. How is that possible?
I can't tell whether it's the tooth or whether his whole mouth is off by, like, 2 degrees. It's so weird.
So this whole podcast on its own.
Yeah, the conspiracy on what the hell's going on there.
He is related to another.
Damn it, Xenu.
But as far as alien invasion movies going, and like an absolute like apocalyptic alien race invading Earth and destroying us, that one's pretty sweet. Having their ships stashed here, like under our civilizations, is waiting for the perfect time.
Yeah, riding the lightning.
Riding the lightning onto them and then just vaporizing the entire planet. It's pretty awesome.
I remember seeing that movie and being shocked, like when they were just people would turn it and bust. And then he shows up back at home and he's just
covered in dust. Yeah, and he just shakes up his head.
Off. Yeah, it's a good scene. I like that movie.
I still think it's. I haven't seen it in a while, but I think it'd still hold up if I.
I would rank it low on my list, but I think I liked it more than I let on.
It's entertaining, for sure.
It was one of those movies where the CGI in that was a Spielberg movie, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the CGI in that was so outstanding. I mean, at that point, there had been a number of other movies where cities are getting destroyed and trashed and stuff. But I just remember that scene where, like, he's running through the Tom Cruise is running through the city, like, towards the camera, and behind him, the elevated train is just getting, like, destroyed and blown off the tracks, and it's coming through the buildings on the blocks behind him. And people just couldn't get over the fact that it looked so ridiculously real, like, realer than real. It was almost no way that it could have been CGI or staged. It was such a visual impact that made that movie a lot better. The story was okay. I did like the fact, you know, the whole, like you said, storing the ships here and we'll just come and get them when we need them. But the visual impact that movie had was outstanding.
It's great. I hate the ending, though. The water. It's always about the water and the bacteria and the water and the aliens, but...
They were here before, or did they just send ships before?
I don't know. That's what doesn't make sense. Did they send them but never actually came? Who knows, but...
You know what? Someone fucked up. Someone's losing their job for that blunder.
Still?
You know what? Let's talk about the water thing real quick. I have to now. The whole signs thing, it was the thing that bugged me about Dana. Hey, we're allergic to water. Water kills us. So we're going to go to a planet that's like 74% water, where the things that we're going to eat to survive are like 80% water. What could possibly go wrong?
It doesn't make any sense if you're that, say you're that advanced of a civilization and you're coming to this planet, you would know exactly what was here, really.
Yeah, I mean,
you stored all your ships here already, but you don't know the water affects you.
Like, why would you even come? Like, at that point, I'm saying someone just filed paperwork and didn't even do their research. Like, someone up there.
Wrong planet.
Right?
Exactly.
Do we got the report on Earth? And he's like, yeah, all good. We should go there. And they're like, okay, we're going. And he's like, oh, shit. I hope it's good.
I don't want to lose my job. I can't tell him no.
Yeah,
they just checked off the wrong box on the form. But it's like, yes. if they stashed those ships here previously, we don't know how long they've been stashed here. If they were stashed here at the time of the dinosaurs, you know what? There was a fuckload more water then because everything was one goddamn continent.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
I think it's the alien invasion movie equivalent of, like, it was all a dream.
Or Fast 7.
Yeah.
Because I can justify it in Signs, sort of, kind of. I can justify it more in Signs than I can in War of the Worlds.
No, there's no way.
More.
In Signs, it burns their skin. So it would burn them as soon as they were out all the time. The first time you see one of those guys walking, he'd be like, oh, shit, I'm on fire.
It's humid. Whereas, I'm dying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Whereas War of the Worlds, it doesn't affect them until they start coming out of the ships, right? Because remember the scene where they're in the basement and they actually come out of the ships, take a peek around?
Yeah.
That's when they're setting themselves up for the bacteria. But still, like, it doesn't, you know.
It doesn't make sense.
Get a fucking exosuit or something. Like, what are you doing?
Like Mars Attacks.
Yeah, exactly. Some nitrogen gum or some shit.
Right.
Fantastic.
Mars Attacks.
And we discuss again.
All right. I'm going to take it back quite a bit. It's a remake. But it's from 1978, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Creepy as fuck. Like, I literally saw this movie for the first time about a year ago on Netflix, and this is just creepy as all get out. Great cast, Donald Sutherland, Leonard Nimoy, Jeff Goldblum, Brooke Adams, Veronica Cartwright, the budget was fairly small, $3.5 million. Made $25 million. I mean, this is 78 we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's big money for them.
But it was so well done, and the ending of the movie is what really – it's almost like a Shyamalanian kind of twist at the end of the movie. When – The military and the police finally get around to realizing that this is going on, and they try to round everybody up who's been infected, and it kind of gives you that, you know, a year later The girl comes back and runs into the guy as he's leaving work and like, oh my God, you know, did you hear about what happened with so-and-so and so-and-so after they did their treatment and everything else? And the guy just screams at her in that alien kind of scream that they did before they got purged. It was just very well done. The tension throughout the movie was pretty legit.
And that movie hit like the cultural sort of the social atmosphere. Because I remember there was even, I remember just from watching old Nick at Nights, there was even like Saturday Night Live skits about that movie. Like it was sort of a big deal.
Yeah.
For Jeff Goldblum to be in two movies that are really good alien invasion movies, it's pretty impressive.
Are you alluding to your next choice?
No, I'm not going to say that one. Oh, I fucked up.
He fucked it up.
Keeping secrets. Well, I got a different one. I had a different one next on my list.
I'll do it.
Do it.
Yeah, I'm going to do the other one. This one is honestly, it's more recent, and the alien invasion is more of a subplot, but it's just one of my favorite movies now. Edge of Tomorrow.
Very.
Unfortunately,
good.
It has Single Tooth Tom Cruise.
Single Tooth, yeah.
But it's just such a fun movie to like. A fun movie to watch.
It's a really cool like idea.
Like the premise of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I have not seen it.
You haven't seen it?
I haven't.
No.
It's one of those movies you watch and it's just so fun to watch that you're just, when it's coming to the end and you know it's coming to the end, you're like, you know what? I could go another half hour. Like you could have just tagged on another half hour of what's going on here. Cause it, like the alien race, I don't want to give it too much away now because if you guys haven't seen it, but it basically touches a lot on time travel and the aliens that come and invade have the power to distort time.
Really?
And so there's a lot of fun played with that, with Tom Cruise going back in time numerous times. And anyways, I highly recommend it. It's one of my favorite movies.
It's right on now. Netflix.
It's so cool because they can dictate every battle in the movie.
Yeah.
So no matter what, I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, get on Age of Tomorrow. It's really good.
Okay. I want to say it's on Netflix, so it's been on my sort of I'll get to it eventually list, so maybe I'll put it up to the top of the list.
Yeah, I think it just got on Netflix too. I was thinking about rewatching it.
As a note, when you said Jeff Goldblum being in another film, and I'm pretty sure I know which one you're talking about, my first thought was, does he mean Earth Girls Are Easy? And I was like, that's probably not it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, I love Earth Girls Are Easy. That's an all-star cast.
It really is.
You got some Carrie.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
You got Julie Brown, the white one.
Yes, not downtown Julie Brown.
No,
just
you got
Julie Brown.
Just say Julie.
Yeah.
Julie Brown.
Oh, I haven't seen that movie in so long. You know what? That's my alien invasion movie. I take that. Forget Age of Tomorrow. Earth Girls Are Easy.
Okay.
I haven't seen that movie in probably 15 years.
And not only is it a fantastic movie, but it's actually a great podcast, too. They are paired up with the Blacker Than Black Times Infinity guys.
Oh, really?
Yep. Earth Girls Are Easy.
Are girls spelled G-U-R-L-S?
Yep.
Nice. That's how I'd spell it, too.
Yep. So, yeah, definitely check them out while you're watching the movie.
Fair enough. So where are we? Who's next on the list? I don't know where he is. It me?
I think it's you.
All right.
I think it's you. Yeah.
So now I'm going with my favorite alien movie. Rob is going to sigh. I am going to weep openly. It is Super 8.
I like that one.
Super 8.
I don't have a problem with that movie.
Then why do you keep mocking me over it?
I mock you over Mars Attacks.
Oh, okay, good. Because I said yesterday.
That was the minute we said alien invasion movie and you said, oh, I already know which one is my favorite. That was my Twitter response. I know where this is going and I don't like it.
Oh.
I knew you were going to Mars Attacks.
What's funny is because my following tweet was, expect me to be openly weeping in 2 hours. Which, that's why I thought you thought I knew it was Super 8. Yeah, no, Super 8. Another Spielberg, J.J. Abrams, who I like more than kind of a lot of people have given up the ghost on Abrams. I still love him when he doesn't do Star Trek. The movie takes place in 1979, 1981. They have the right camera taste. Like, it all sort of has that fuzz and the lens flare that he loves. But it looks like the cameras they use to film Close Encounters. Like, it looks exactly like it. Great special effects, fantastic story with the kid with his mom, the dead mom, so him and his father don't get along, and they're making their own movie. All the while, there's sort of the invasion story in the backdrop, and then it all sort of meets in the middle. One of the only movies I have ever owned the score to, just for the background music. I can't remember whether it's Elfman or Williams, but it's one of them. Yeah, easily my favorite Alien film. I sat riveted in the theater when I saw it, and I've watched it. It's one of my go-tos on a bad day. If I just need to sit and like veg out to something, I'll put on Super 8.
Yeah, it's got that Goonies feel, like that, the kids and the...
Yes.
Like trying to... Yeah, it's a good movie. I liked it too. I like the where they're filming, the train comes by and it's all ominous. And it's a good movie. I like that too. I have nothing bad to say about it. But, you know, to be honest though, I have nothing that great to say about it. It's like it's a middle for my list. I'm just like, yeah, I like it. It's a good movie. Yeah, I've seen it.
It had a very E.T. feel in it, to it, in the regards that the people you wanted to root for were the kids, and it was the adults that were disconnected mentally from the way the kids were thinking in how to handle the situation. So it felt like it was very similar in story style to that. But I agree. Not only were the effects awesome, but the attention to detail that, hey, this movie takes place 20 years ago, so we're going to make everything look like it was 20 years ago. But not only the sets, excuse me, like you said, the way they filmed it, the style of camera, everything else, it was a really well done job.
Rob, I'm gonna make you feel horrible right now. 40 years ago.
Oh. Well, the movie took place 40 years ago.
Yeah.
But when did the movie come out?
Oh, the movie only came out 2011.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah,
it wasn't that long.
Not bad at all.
I thought it was farther.
Yeah. I thought you were making a joke about how far back it was. But yeah, no.
Well, I meant 20 years from when it came out, because I thought it came out like 2001 kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it was only 2011. It was after the show that shall not be named.
Right.
We have a hate relationship with Lost on our show.
A moratorium on it, even though I keep making fun of him for it.
Yep.
Are you a Jack guy or a Sawyer guy?
I'm a can I please not watch this anymore guy.
I've never watched Lost.
He's a Lapidus guy.
Lapidus.
You know how sad this is? The place that I work, we have a color on one of the things that we sell, and I'm being very vague because I don't like to mention where I work. But the color of one of the things that we sell is called Lapidus. So a customer comes up to me and goes, I need to know if you have this thing, but in a bigger size. So I go, well, what color is it? And she pulls it up on her phone and she shows me. And as I'm typing it in, I go, Lapidus. And she just kind of gives me this look like, I'm like, never mind.
Brayden, you've seen Lost?
Yeah, I watched it all the way through.
Okay, so if you're not familiar with the Lapidus, there's that cartoon series that these guys do that How It Should Have Ended. They did one for Lost, and they lambast the show entirely. They lambast every single part of it except for Lapidus. Jeff, what's his name?
Fahey.
Lawnmower Man. So yeah, every time, like, he saves the world, he stops the bomb from exploding, he flies them off the island, and every time they do, the background singers just go Lapidus. It's perfect. But anyway,
I don't know. I'm kind of confused on how you could fault that show or go after that show for anything, though. It was just so well done.
If you go back in our archives, you will find a 3.5-hour podcast that we did on the entirety of the series. There's a number of reasons that podcast tends to go off the rails at points in time.
Many.
But
why was there a polar bear? What's with the polar bear?
After everything I've heard about the show, no force on this planet could get me to watch it.
It's one of those shows where you watch the end and you go, like, you know there's no way they can wrap it all up. And you watch the end and you go, and then you're mad. You're like, they didn't fucking wrap anything up. Fuck's sakes. And
isn't one of those shows that you can just watch, there's like only like 20 core episodes, and if you watch those, you pretty much get the whole story?
No.
Oh, no,
they slow dribble out one fact in episode. So
it's
it's not good.
It's the equivalent of the first season of Heroes, where you watch it and then you're like, well, I have to watch fucking every single one ever made now instantly.
Yep. Oh, okay.
And then you just slowly sink into a hell.
I loved Heroes, though, the first season.
Oh, it's good.
Very concisely, what I've hated about this show. I loved the ending until we did this episode. And then the more I talked about it and the more I watched it, I realized that the ending of Lost just doesn't hold up. But the thing that killed me was that they were so attention to detail oriented because they knew the entire fan base was DVRing and frame by framing everything to try to find little details and hints and nuances. And then the last episode, it's like Jack's in a brown shirt and he walks down the hallway into the kitchen and suddenly he's in a blue shirt and everybody goes, oh my God, what does it mean? And they go, you know, it was a continuity thing. We had to do a reshoot. We just didn't pay attention. No, fuck you.
Yeah.
No, fuck you.
Yeah, this show is a fucking maddening. Fuck.
It's a mess.
Can we not?
You know what? Don't invest in it.
Man. I'm never going to. Yeah, I will never invest my time in that show.
Don't do it. Be strong. Make it a statement about yourself. I have never seen Avatar. I will never see Avatar. It's a badge I choose to wear. Be that guy who will never watch Lost.
You know what? That's a thing for me with Avatar. It's one of the one of the highest grossing movies of all time. I couldn't quote a single thing in that movie.
No.
Like, I don't know anyone who's seen it more than once.
I have, but because the riff tracks.
Because oh, okay.
There's a riff tracks of it. But that's the only reason I've seen it more than once.
The only thing I could quote is Jake Sully. That's it. I know the guy's name.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's his name.
And there Unobtainium.
Yeah, Unobtainium.
That's the best. Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's a weird movie to gain. So I just think it was because of the 3D and it was revolutionary at the time. But I fucking hate
3D. I hate 3D.
And that's why I will never go watch it. Because it made a Hollywood go, oh my God, everything has to be in 3D now. No, fuck off.
I will be the one person over here who goes and sees movies in 3D specifically.
But if the movie warrants it.
Yeah, no, I know.
But because of Avatar, everything, like they would have made Schindler's List in 3D if it came out after Avatar. Because everything had to be fucking 3D.
It's. I agree with you 100%. It's fucking stupid. I only go see it 3D if I read somewhere that that's the vision where this movie was made was for 3D.
Yep.
Like, if it's 3D after the fact, go fuck yourself. I'm not going to see it.
Exactly.
I'm not paying that extra. Like, it's like an extra fucking day's pay up here to go see 3D.
I hate 3D because you have to pay $3 for the glasses every time, and then they make you recycle. I'll keep them. Bring them back next time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll sit alone on this one.
All right, I have one on my list, and I think it's the one that everybody has on their list.
Yeah, I think so. Probably. I hope not now.
Leprechaun in Space?
No.
Oh.
Transformers?
No, I wasn't going to put that one on there.
That's on my bad list, actually.
Oh, Independence Day.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Earth.
Oh, man. Love that.
Earth. This was a very, very well done movie. I mean, I don't even know where to start on it. The CGI effects, did it have its flaws? Yeah, but as far as a fun movie that was just chock full of action, quotable, it's one of the top ones on almost every list that I've looked at as far as alien movies.
I think the biggest drawback for that movie has for me always been just Judd Hirsch. Get rid of Judd Hirsch. That movie's fairly flawless action film. He's just like, he does that over the top Jewish smarmy guy. It's the worst.
I think it's because they couldn't get Jackie Mason.
Right. None.
Man, but yeah, like Jeff Goldblum again, knocking out of the park. They got the sequel coming. I'm gonna lower my.
Is it just Jeff Goldblum's back, right?
Yeah.
Anyone else?
They couldn't get Will Smith because they wouldn't let him write the theme song, I think.
Get out.
No, he wanted a ton of money for it, and they weren't gonna pay him for it. So not only is he not in this movie, but they dirty dicked him in the fact that they killed him off camera. And apparently there's a little throwaway where while we're watching news reports, one of the newscasters talks about like the anniversary of the accidental trading mission death of Captain so-and-so. And they're like, wow, they totally fucked him and then just blew off his death.
Well, it could be that, or it could be because he couldn't write the theme song. So either way, we could go with either one.
I'm going to stick with theme song. It's a better story.
Yeah, that's true. Brent is back in it, though.
Oh, Brent Spiner?
And the president's back in it, too, yeah.
Oh, like the man, Pullman, when he's doing the
speech.
Like, I'm not American, but I was American during that speech.
Yeah.
Like, this is our Independence Day. I was like, yeah, 4th of July, motherfuckers. Woo! I'm like, oh, it has nothing to do up here. No one cares.
My friend posts that video on Facebook every 4th of July.
Yeah, it's the best. I can't believe that's not the speech your president doesn't like. He should give that every 4th of July. Like, honestly, it's so good.
But there's so many iconic scenes, like where you see the aerial top-down shot of the Washington Monument and just that giant shadow slowly creeping its way over it. It was there were a lot of spectacularly visual events in that movie.
Yeah, it's a fun sort of semi-apocalypse, semi-world destruction. I remember the commercials, and the White House blowing up was on every advert ever. Like, there was no way that you could avoid seeing the White House blow up 1,000 times if you were watching television.
All right.
It's a top down. It's a great action flick. It really is.
I've seen it probably 100 times.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where you can watch it. It'll be on TV, and you're like, I own it as DVD. I'll never put it on my DVD player, but if it's on TV, I will watch the whole thing with commercials.
You'll watch the 3.5 hour runtime of it
with commercials. All edited and everything. Just like get glued to it again.
It's like me. It's like Happy Gilmore. Same kind of thing for me. Not an alien invasion movie.
Really? Happy?
Like, or wait, or is it? Chubbs?
Who's to say?
This was a Roland Emmerich movie.
Yeah, it was.
Which is not surprising with how much destruction there was.
Is he doing directing the second one as well?
Oh yeah.
Oh really? Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if Dean Devlin is, but I know Emmerich is.
I'm going to be interested in seeing what they blow up, since he already blew up all of the monuments in the first one.
Well, I mean, between that one and between 2012, between all the other movies that he's done, the planet's basically just a parking lot at this point.
Just pave it.
No, Devlin is working on it with him.
What are the bets that Jeff Goldblum lays down a faster, we must go faster?
There will definitely
probably.
Yeah, there'll definitely be at least one Jeff Goldblum ism.
Do you think he's going to save the day with Coke cans again, or do you think Coke could afford the plug?
Or perhaps a MacBook virus or something along those lines, whatever it was. We'll just plug it into the alien USB. Wait, what?
Perfect compatible.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we got USB ports from, you know, reverse engineering alien technology in Area 51. So.
You knew then.
Oh, man, that scene where it's got the release me.
Release me.
Awesome.
So
love
good.
That scene.
And that goes back to your statement on exosuits, too. Because when you first see that alien, when the cockpit pops open after he's chasing Will Smith around the desert, it's not the way the alien looks on the inside. So when we first see it, the audience kind of gets an idea of, wow, this is what this thing looks like. And then we find out that that's not really the case, because it's just a whole exosuit that they're wearing.
Yeah, to protect them from our... I'm pretty sure they mentioned that it's to protect them from our environment and stuff.
Yep.
They really knew what they were doing there.
Yeah. Somebody did the homework.
No water defeated those guys.
Well, and they crashed in the desert, too, so...
Just hackers. It was a 90s movie, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 96.
96, right in the middle.
Right, yeah.
Hack the planet.
Yeah, hacking.
So does anybody have any movies left on their list? We sort of jumped around, so I don't know.
That was my big one.
Yeah, that was the last one I was saving, too.
Yeah.
So I got a couple of honorable mentions, and then I have the bad list.
Yeah, my honorable mentions were movies that I didn't think qualified as invasion movies, and those were Iron Giant and Last Starfighter. They were just, you know, both of those are fantastic movies that I love, and I just didn't feel they fit enough with the theme to go on the list. So that's why my honorable mentions fell off. What about you?
I had John Carpenter's The Thing.
It's great.
It's a fantastic alien movie, but again, is it? If they had just left well enough alone and not taken him out of the ice, it wouldn't have been an invasion movie whatsoever. But still, like, to this day, that movie still holds up with all the effects and everything else and the drama and the tension in that movie. And the other one I had, it was not so much a movie, but a TV series. I had to put V on there.
Oh, so good.
It was a great TV series. And it was one of the first times, I think, that the casting department of some place said, we're going to take somebody who is greatly known for being a thing, and we're going to completely make them not a thing, but the audience is going to always think that he's going to become the thing. When they cast Robert Englund as basically the good guy in the alien group, you know, the village idiot, so to speak, but still the good guy, people who knew him from any of the Nightmare movies just couldn't... They were waiting for the other shoe to drop. They couldn't wrap their brain around the fact that he was not going to turn and just murderate everybody at some point. Hmm. And I think that was done specifically with that in mind. But if you get the opportunity to check it out, not the remake that they did, but the original TV series V, really good stuff.
I'm trying to find I'm trying to find the name of the one TV thing I wanted to mention. I can't find the name. I'll have it before the end of the show.
Okay.
There was, it was on the anniversary of the original War of the Worlds, and it was a live TV special where it was as if it was a live news report happening. And it the only thing I remember about it was it starred Richard Biggs, who was the doctor on Babylon 5. I'm looking up the name right now, but it was sort of just news reports, almost like a reality program just done with news cameras, of this sort of impending War of the Worlds thing that was going to happen. And they played it semi-seriously. They only showed the what you're watching is fictional maybe once an hour. So if you just kind of flipped it on, you kind of went, what? As a la the original War of the Worlds.
Right.
I'll find the name of it, but it's definitely worth the watch. It doesn't age well. I know that for a fact because it was from the... If the early 90s, that might be late. Like, it's so, but I'll find the name. But definitely something to check out if you want to see another War of the Worlds style thing.
Cool. I got an honorable mention. I forgot about it.
Sure.
Gigantic super beast from a different dimension, Pacific Rim.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, I had it on my list too.
Where they slowly, like, the time period is shorter and shorter, and you get one, then you get the double event, then the triple event.
Man, it was just a fun
movie. It was a fun movie to watch.
Yeah, it was, like, visually fun to watch. Like, perfect.
It was, like, giant super mecha suits.
Oh, yeah, no, that movie is... It's on my shelf. I've probably watched the 3D version of it, like, 100 times. I really, really love that film. It hits me right in the Voltron button, because I'm the right era for, like, Voltron as a kid, so... and huge anime fans. Well, used to be for a time. Fantastic movie. Love it.
And now Finn is starring in the sequel.
Yeah. They just announced.
Yep, John Boyega.
Yep.
They have a sequel coming out for it?
Yep.
They've been fighting with it for years. And it kind of goes up and down where there's a script written, but then they don't have the support for it, and then they get the support for it. It's been pulled back and forth about a half a dozen times. But, yeah, I think finally they've announced that they're doing it.
Cool.
Oh, man, that'll be good. I'll go see it. Probably not in 3D, but I'll see it nonetheless.
So, what do we got for terrible ones?
Rob, do you want to start with one of your bad'uns?
I'll start with not quite the worst one that I have. I'll build up to the pain. Sphere.
Oh yeah.
Oh, with Jodie Foster?
What's the one?
That's Contact.
Contact.
That's Contact. Yeah,
no, George Clooney?
Nope, that's not it either.
No, this is only Sharon Stone.
Yeah, Sharon Stone and Samuel L. Jackson and Dustin Hoffman. And Queen Latifah and Liv Schreiber.
Ooh, the cast is sounding worse and worse as you go on.
And, you know, people could look at it and go, but Samuel L. Jackson's in it. How can it be bad? No, Samuel L. Jackson has made some bad fucking movies. Just the story of this, it didn't flow very well. It was based on a movie, or it was based on a novel by Michael Crichton, but it just, I couldn't wrap my brain around it. They get the scientific crew together because the military finds this giant sphere at the bottom of the ocean that they've dredged up, and they want them to look at it and try and investigate it. And, like, it plays all these mental mindfuck games on them. But it doesn't actually, like, do anything. It's almost just like this giant round MacGuffin in the movie that sits there and does nothing and just preys on the fears and makes everybody else do stupid shit. But it's never actually proven that it's the sphere that does it. So it's just very bizarre.
Yeah, it's not a good movie.
I remember reading the book, actually, I think, of Sphere. It was, like, found under, like, 300 feet of coral or something, so it was been there for a long time. And
yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. The budget was $73 to $80 million, depending on reports, and the box office was $50 million. So.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's not good.
Not a good sign at all.
We already mentioned one of mine, and that was Transformers.
Which one?
Oh my god!
Any of them? All of them?
That last one.
The last one was horrible.
Was the worst film I've ever seen in my entire life.
I like Mark Wahlberg too. But...
yes, sir.
How's your mother? How's your mother doing?
I went off on a rant about the most recent Transformers movie. You know how you get that time where, like, you'll be in a movie theater and maybe the pacing isn't the best, but the movie's gone on about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, and you kind of look down at your watch and go, Jesus, 10 more minutes to go. But it feels like it's gone on for a while.
Yeah.
I looked down at my watch going, I wonder how much longer this movie's on, because I had been watching it for 2.5 hours already, and it was literally like 18 minutes into the movie. I was already feeling like that. When the helicopters blow up his farmhouse, and then because the barn is within 100 yards of the farmhouse, that blows up, and the electrical plant down the road, and the grocery store, and the neighbor's house, it was just ridiculous, the amount of base explosions. Apparently everything in Mark Wahlberg's town is connected to one main natural gas line. Because the minute one thing blows up, the entire town just fucking blows up like pyro at a wrestling match. It was such a poorly paced and bad movie.
And then when they, like, I don't know why, like, when they had the two little gangster bots, I was like, are you fucking
kidding? Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Are you, like, I was cringing in the movie theater.
I'm cringing hearing it again.
Yeah, it's like, oh! It was one of those movies where you're watching it and you're like, you know, I should just walk out. I should just walk out. I should do it. And you're like, oh, God, 10 more minutes. And you're like, fuck, why didn't I walk in? It's so bad.
And, you know, even the first ones, as bad or as campy as the first bunch were, at least the transforming scenes were always pretty cool, watching how they did that. In the first movie, they actually hired, like, a Japanese computer CAD company and said, okay, like, a 2011 Chevy Corvette has like 1,300 parts in it. So if it becomes a robot, where do all of them go? And they mapped where every piece would go if it was going to transform into a robot. That's kind of fucking cool. This last one, they end up just becoming like floating DNA strands between one to the other. Like, they don't even do the transforming thing anymore. It's just like, poof, I'm a robot. Poof, I'm a spaceship. It was so, ugh. It was so horrible. So bad.
Yeah. I rewatched, like, I was going to say that when I originally saw it in the theater, I remember going, oh, I could just drive through these plot holes. Oh, I just want to leave. Oh, this is just destroying me. It's hurting. And then, like, a couple years later, I went, you know what? There was a Riff Trax of it, because I watch every Riff Trax they put out. So there was a Riff Trax of it. I was like, you know, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought. I get about halfway through and go, nope, there they are. The pain is beginning again. It has all started.
Oh, it was like, it's honestly, it's like not only a bad alien invasion movie, it's like just probably one of the worst movies ever. Like, it's out there. Like, what, I don't even know which one it is, Transformers 4. Like, if someone was like the worst movie, I would probably hit that within three guesses.
Yeah. Oh, I did find out the show I was talking about with Richard Biggs was, we now interrupt this program.
Okay.
I think you can find it on YouTube. You got to go hunt around because it's so obviously strange a title. But we interrupt this program. Highly, highly recommended.
All right.
So other bad ones. What do you guys got?
You want to go, Ryan?
Yeah, hit it.
I got nothing.
I got, I liked this movie at the start, and the ending destroyed it for me so much so that it couldn't redeem itself like Science. Skyline.
Don't even remember.
Skyline was the one where it's like the young people, they go to their buddy, and he's the playboy now, and he set them up in the penthouse. They're all partying, and all of a sudden the blue lights start coming down.
Yeah.
And as soon as you look at the blue lights, you're attracted to it or something. And it was all kind of cool and interesting until right at the end, man, they pulled his brain out, and he goes into one of their big super beasts. They use our brain to power their super beast. But the power of love.
Oh, get out.
Kept him. And he went and saved his girlfriend. And him and his girlfriend were going to live happily ever after as super beast and 5'10" woman.
That sounds horrible.
It was not good.
The ending was so fucking bad that I was like, oh, painful. And it was one of those ones where it sat in the apartment for way too long. Like something exciting would happen, then you'd be like, get out of the apartment. Like, come on, show me something else. And always in the apartment. Fucking shitty love story. It was just bad. It's bad.
Who was the actor that happened to?
The guy who turned into the super beast?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he was kind of like the next It guy in like those 20-ish kind of actors. Yeah, and then he just fell off the face of the fucking earth.
Eric Balfour.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy.
It
Sorry,
was bad.
I just clicked on him and I'm like, oh, it's the he was on 6 Feet Under. I know who it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy. That movie sounds horrible.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that's all right. I was just saying that movie sounds horrible.
It's really bad. Like, if you want to watch a movie where at the start you're like, oh, this is some promise, and then go, oh, what a waste of my time. Watch Skyline.
Yeah, it was not good.
I got one more. I don't want to jump in. You can do it.
Well, I have one more bad one, and it's calling back to the other movie with a pro wrestler in it.
Oh, all right.
This would be a Hulk Hogan vehicle, as mentioned.
Ooh.
I do have Suburban Commando on my list.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan as an intergalactic bounty hunter also has Christopher Lloyd, Shelley Duvall as the mom and dad, because somehow that makes sense. And then he has to watch after the kids along the way. And then I believe the supervillain in it is the Undertaker. Yep, he is the bad guy is in fact the other wrestler, the Undertaker. He doesn't have any lines, or if he does, I believe they gave him like a high pitched voice. Yeah, not good in the slightest. I remember because I'm a big pro wrestling fan, they would show clips of it during pro wrestling episodes, and even at the age of, I want to say, let me see, what year did this come out? This came out in 1991, so I was just around 11 when this movie came out, and I even at the age of 11 I'm like, I don't want to see this. This looks horrible. And I bought into everything. Like, you showed me a toy, I would want to buy it. You showed me a movie, I'd want to see it. Even this, I was like, this looks odious, and it really, really is.
Sold me.
Yeah, I gotta see it. I gotta see it now.
Yes.
Hulk.
Doesn't sound so bad.
It sounds pretty good. Hulk Hogan as a space
bounty hunter.
Bounty hunter.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Does he say classic Hulk lines?
I don't remember. If any, he does. I know he poses. I know.
He probably says brother at least.
He's gotta. I don't remember it well enough, but I'm going to say yes. He says it every... It's the only thing he says. He's like a Pokemon. Brother, 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 brother.
Brother.
Brother, brother. Brother.
Rob, do you want to go?
Go ahead, because I think mine... I don't know that you can go any worse than the one that I have left.
Oh, shit, really?
Okay, this one, now lots of people liked this movie when it came out, and I don't like, I put it on here because I didn't pay enough attention to the movie because I fucking hated it so much that I don't really know. Cloverfield.
Right.
I fucking hated Cloverfield so much.
That was all like POV, wasn't it?
Handycam.
Yep. Yeah.
It drove me nuts the whole time because every time there was some situation going where they'd be like, it would pan to a girl's face and she'd be like, oh my God, the most exciting thing is happening. The monster's eating rockets and shoot shit and fire. And the guy's like, you're like, turn the camera. I want to see. Turn the camera. I want to see. And the guy's like, oh my God. And then he points the camera down and it just shakes your fucking run away. I was fucking losing my mind in the theater the whole time. I was like, show me. I just want to see what it is.
Don't you only see it like once at the end.
Yeah, it fucking drove me nuts. I hated it. I fucking hated that movie. I've never seen it again. I saw it once in theaters and I never saw it again.
I admittedly, I enjoy Cloverfield.
Yeah, we might have to start seeing other podcasts, guys.
To each his own, but I fucking hate Cloverfield.
Yeah, when we
never liked it.
We did a Handycam POV movie episode a while back, and it was both really high on our lists.
Well, I'm just going as alien invasion movies.
Sure,
movies
most definitely.
In general, I'm sure there's movies that rank less for me.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't even remember if the alien was from the sea or from space. I can't remember.
It was a meteor that landed in space. It doesn't matter. And a vague tie to Super 8, funny enough, that the big rumor was that Super 8 was sort of the prequel. But it's not true.
I know. I was pretty upset when I remember when that was being said. And I was like, I don't know if I'll see it. But then it got good reviews. And I was pleasantly surprised. But yeah, Cloverfield for me, that was I fucking hated that. Anyways.
Fair enough.
Have
you seen 10 Cloverfield Lane, or did you just say no, fuck that?
I said no, fuck that. Fair enough. Had same. I was like, nope, not for me. I heard it's really good though.
Yeah, I've been trying to find a copy of it because I missed it in the theaters because I was in process of moving. But I've been trying to find a copy. I'll just wait till it comes out on DVD, I guess. And Rob, what is the bottom? Where are we scraping?
This movie is the end result of an alien invasion where humanity finally turns the tide and takes itself back from the clutches of its alien overlords. Oh. And the savior of humanity is Barry Pepper. I put Battlefield Earth on here.
Yeah,
it's probably the worst movie I've ever seen, too.
That's probably the reason I don't remember it at all.
It was terrible.
It was pictures on a screen.
For those who might be listening who don't know, it's roughly based on L. Ron Hubbard's book. It's supposedly the whole explanation of how Scientology is supposed to work as well, what their belief systems are. It made $29 million on a budget of $75 million. Most of that was funded by Travolta himself. And it bankrupted and shut a German film distribution company because it was sued by its investors.
It was...
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
It was bad.
I
brought up the cover. And like, if you've ever been to Mexico or anywhere where you can buy those pirated movies, mm-hmm. and they'll Photoshop a cover together to what they think.
Right.
That's what their movie poster looked like. It looked like someone had been like, I think this might be what the movie's about. It was fucking bad. Everything about that movie was bad. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible. Kelly Preston, John Travolta, Barry Pepper, Forrest Whitaker, and Kim Coates.
I've seen it more than once again because Riff Tracks, funny enough that keeps appearing during this sort of movie. But I still, having seen it probably three times, I have no idea what it's about. None.
What it's about is it's about an hour and 40 minutes too fucking long.
I'm actually a little upset that you reminded me. I blocked it completely out of my head. It didn't even pop up on my list when I was thinking of stuff.
Just so far gone.
Oh, man. It's painful. That is by far the worst.
It swept the 2000 Golden Raspberry Awards and received 7 Razzies, including Worst Movie of the Year, Worst Actor, Worst Supporting Actor, Worst Supporting Actress, Worst Director, Worst Screenplay, and Worst Screen Couple. And the Worst Screen Couple was awarded to John Travolta and anyone sharing the screen with him.
That's quite a feat right there.
That's rough.
You know what, though? It was a shit movie.
Yeah, there's
I could rightly deserve.
But there's no way to save that one. It was terrible.
I do like...
It was part of HBO's rotation for a while, and there was a time where there was nothing else on, so I would throw it on in the background just to laugh at it and just amaze myself in wonderment, because it's almost one of those, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything you want to. You really can make a movie this fucking bad if you really put your heart into it and decide this is what I want to do. It's just not good.
It's weird because people would have had to watch that before it was released. And was there not a time where there was someone level-headed that was like, yeah.
Come on, guys.
I don't know about this, guys. I don't know about the direction of this.
But you figured that
everyone was just like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah, they all had, I'm guessing so many of them had drank that Kool-Aid that came from Scientology. I mean, Travolta funded the movie, so he clearly is going to get his people in. That nobody had the balls to tell him, like, it's great. Never mind. It's great. You look fantastic with dreadlocks and a beard. That's great. Just go with that.
Okay, cool. So this is right out of the Wikipedia page. It's Franchise Pictures. This is the company that acquired the rights to it to try to distribute it. In 1998, the project was taken over by Franchise Pictures, a recently established company whose head was a former dry cleaning mogul turned nightclub owner who specialized in rescuing stars' pet projects. The franchise sought out stars whose projects were stalled at major studios and brought them on board at reduced salaries.
Oh. It's like the Tommy Wiseau of bad fucking sci-fi.
It's like if this movie was made now, it would be an Asylum's film movie.
Yes.
And then the movie would have been so much better with Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, hi, Zinu.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, we're going to space now. What a great idea. All right. Does anybody else have a good or bad sci-fi movie we haven't mentioned, invasion themed?
Anything to cleanse the palate? Wipe the taste off?
No.
Oh, I don't know. Let's leave it on. Let's let it fester on that one.
Yeah. That's the worst one.
Just let it fester.
Just let people sit in their filth.
Yeah.
This podcast can sit here and think about what it's done.
It's one of those ones that ends, and I don't even want to watch a movie now. Like, I don't feel there. It's like, oh.
Take a few weeks off.
Yeah, I just, you know what? I'm going to go back to books.
And
my
not
eyes
even,
need a break.
Not even fiction novels. Just true crime, documentary, yeah. Nonfiction. Just textbooks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Encyclopedias, fuck anything. It's just... Battlefield.
All right.
I feel like this show has been a success.
Can't we knock this one out of the park?
Yeah. Like Eddie Izzard. You know, we like to leave people on a kind of note when we end our show.
And you know what's the worst thing? The worst thing is some poor fucking soul is going to listen to this and go, it can't be that fucking bad. And they're going to fucking watch it.
Exactly.
And they're going to sink into a depression that they didn't think they...
They'll never watch a movie again.
And then we're going to check iTunes the next day, and our subscribers will have been reduced by one.
Yeah.
Just unsubscribed from our show.
Well, good thing it's your show and not ours, so...
Well, why don't you tell everybody out in listening land the name of your show, where they can find it, how to reach you, and all of those wonderful pluggy bits.
Okay, so yeah, you can find our show on iTunes, Alien Theorists Theorizing. Find us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @truthisoutther, T-H-U-R-R. And we have a new website up, alientheorist.com. We've got some forums going. You can get on there and chat about all sorts of conspiracies. You know what? I got a little something for listeners who maybe some of our people who are listening. A little space news. Absolutely no space news for you today.
Okay. Classic.
Just about zero chance of auroras. So yeah, that's all the space news. A little space news plug for you guys.
Yeah, the universe is a giant hologram, and we all really probably don't exist. So there you go.
Sleep tight. Thank you, Elon Musk. You need to figure out a way to make that an audio drop, so when they click on the button on your website that says news, it just goes space news.
It's not hard to program.
Someone code that in for me, and then we'll take it.
We have this one guy, Ivan, and he makes, like, he started making us theme songs that we use all the time. So, Ivan, if you follow over to this one and you're listening, make us a little space news, a little clip. You know what? I want all the space news I've ever said clipped into a quick 30 seconds.
That's not hard.
Just on repeat.
But yeah, guys, if you're listening to our show, definitely check these guys out. It is very easy for me to fall behind on my podcast listening, but these are definitely one of the guys that I do my best to try to catch up on as soon as possible. They can also be found on the Stitcher, which is where I listen to them. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show. It was a blast. You guys have an awesome show that you guys do, and I can't wait for the next case file that you guys come out with.
Oh, you guys got to come on our show now. That's the deal.
Yeah, you pick a conspiracy.
Pick the conspiracy, and we'll knock it out of the park.
Absolutely. You guys let us know when you guys get all settled in with the new studio and everything, and once you guys get back to normal, absolutely.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys, for having us on.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely, thanks, man. Thanks a lot.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon. Are they gone?
I don't know.
We're not gone yet.
Oh.
We're You can't get rid of us.
We don't know how this works. Our guests just go silent and then we end the show.
Oh, fair enough.
Let's do a little something real quick.
You got it, Rob. Go for
it. And then we'll just wrap it up with everybody.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Fuck it.
Sure.
Since we have our guests on here, as they've already introduced themselves, Alien Theorist Theorizing, other shout outs to the Geekish Cast. Open All Powers, the Naked Porch Podcast, Dark Angels Pretty Freaks, and the Now and Then Movie Podcast. Find them and literally thousands upon thousands of other podcasts on the hashtag Potter and Family Podcast Network.
And you can find us, the Something Something Cast, over at somethingcast.com, Twitter at SDSTcast, or on the Facebook or iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher as well, amongst all of that other crap that we mentioned.
Absolutely.
So, Rob, thank you once again. This has been a dream. A dream that ended in terror.
It's like it's nightmares where you wake up from the nightmare and go, oh, my God, thank God I'm awake. And you realize that you just dreamt that you woke up in the nightmare and you're still in it.
Oh, I had the pear dream again. Kids in the Hall ref. Anyway, with that said, thank y'all. My name's James Hatton.
I'm Podcast Rob.
We will see you guys beyond.
Later.
Glide in your stride, dip in your hip, and come on to the mothership, man.